This morning, as I said, it's about Naboth. Naboth, a man of integrity. Naboth has only mentioned in that scripture maybe once or twice of what Naboth specifically said. I think in the Bible, his name may occur 19 times or so. But Naboth is like the majority of God's saints. They may go unnamed. They may go, like it says in some portions of the Bible, it just says a certain servant. But that we must be certain saints of God that have integrity. That some of us may die with integrity. We may suffer in this life on this side. As I was reading scripture, I said that came from Hebrews. In the Hebrews Hall of Faith, where it says that after they named a lot of the heroes listed in the Bible, they use a little other word. It says, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawed asunder, were tempted, were slain, were with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. In that others, you know, Naboth is included in that others, but Isaiah would be one of the ones which is a major prophet that was included in that others because he was sown asunder. He was sown in pieces. It's not like a lot of the churches and things preach today, you know, about rebuking the devil and that you having life your way and that it's going to be easy. And a lot of people cater to other people. They cater to the things of the world. They sell their inheritance out to the things of this world. But this morning we're looking at a man that wouldn't sell his inheritance, that wouldn't sell that God had given unto him as a steward. He was a steward of God's resources. It's come from the book of 1 Kings, the 21st chapter, 1st through the 29th verse. And I don't want to read the whole thing. But it's necessary that you would read and study the whole 1 Kings, the 21st chapter, and 2 Kings in the 9th chapter. But we see where Naboth, it says, now there was a man named Naboth from Jezreel who owned a vineyard in Jezreel beside the palace of King Ahab of Samaria. One day Ahab said to Naboth, since your vineyard is so convenient to my palace, I would like to buy it and to use it as a vegetable garden. I will give you a better vineyard in exchange, or if you would prefer, I will pay you for it. But Naboth replied, the Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance that was passed down by my ancestors. Make a note of that the Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance that was passed down by my ancestors. So Ahab went home angry and sullen because of Naboth's answer, and the king went to bed with his face to the wall and refused to eat. What's the matter? His wife Jezebel asked him. What's made you so upset that you're not eating? I asked Naboth to sell me his vineyard, Naboth said, and he traded, but he refused, Ahab told her. Are you the king of Israel or not? Jezebel demanded. Get up and eat something and don't worry about it. I'll give you Naboth's vineyard. She wrote letters in Ahab's name. We're going to stop right there. We'll look at the rest of that as we go along. This morning, I don't know if you looked at the thing about the budget battle a few weeks ago, and as what's been going on in Congress, as what's going on in the world, and the church has been lulled to sleep, or has been made complicit with this world. It's been made complicit with this world. There's one senator that stood up, even though at the end he went along with it. It was Rand Paul, and he said, you know what, we're hypocrites. He said, we're a bunch of hypocrites. He says, we criticize President Obama for doing the same thing that we're about to do. There was people that were staunch against the deficit, raising the deficit, and that the deficit being raised or whatever. But yet and still, as the whore or the prostitute or harlot that the church and the world has become, they went right along with this national body and passed the tax overhaul, the tax reform that passed the budget deal that put this nation trillions of dollars in national debt for years to come, the Republicans who had stood and said years ago the reason they was against Obama for doing it, that they wasn't going to sell their children's inheritance, that this would put their children in debt for years to come or whatever, and that we would be selling the children's inheritance. It seems mighty strange, as Ray and Paul said, a hypocritical, that they turned right around and did that very thing. So as we've been preaching that this is a nation that's lost, it's lost all of its integrity. We're led about by leaders that have lost all of their integrity. We're led about by churches that have lost all of their integrity. This morning we want to look at a man who hadn't lost his integrity. That man was Naboth. And that we have to look at integrity of leadership. The integrity of leadership would be our first point. God had said that the king should make a copy of God's law and read it daily, that you would read it daily. As kings and priests, we should read God's word daily. We should have a copy of the Bible. We should read that daily. It was a requisite reading for the kings. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 17th chapter, the 18th through the 20th verse, it says, "And it shall be when he sitteth up on the throne of his kingdom, and he shall write him a copy of this law in a book, out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandments to the right hand or to the left hand, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of the kingdom." In the midst of the kingdom. So if y'all are not reading your Bible daily, if you're not studying God's word daily, that manna from that bread that coming down from heaven, you're not in a position to lead your home. You're not a person of integrity. Because as you read God's word, he writes, as you become a child, he writes those laws on your heart that cause you to stand. So Ahab shouldn't have even asked a question like that. He shouldn't have even come up with an assumption like that. We could see about four or five commandments that was broken in what Ahab did here. And as a leader, he shouldn't have asked something like that. You know, there are some things that you shouldn't do. If you're a person of integrity, you should respect your neighbor's property. You know, I was telling y'all last week to pray because one of our neighbors had parked his vehicle on our property. He hadn't even asked us or whatever. You know, property, and that goes along with the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not want. It said, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We all look around and we all want something else. We're not satisfied with the wife we have. We look around and see somebody who's better. We want to talk to that other woman. She's a little bit better than our wife. He's a little bit better than our husband. We look at the cars we drive or whatever. And the advertisement on the TV shows you how to own a better car, a new car. And we're not satisfied with the cars we drive. So we want a better car, a new car. We always wanting. And then that's a spirit of covetousness. That this is a nation that has become a covetous nation. So Ahab shouldn't have made that request if he had been studying God's word. If he had been studying God's word, he wouldn't have made that request of Naboth. Because in studying God's word, you can't ask somebody to violate what God had forbidden. He says, I read that, he says, Naboth, this was his summer home now. This was a summer home. The castle, the thing was in Jerusalem, was in Samaria. And it says, beside the palace of King Ahab, one day Ahab said to Naboth, since your vineyard is so convenient in by my palace, I would like to buy it as a vegetable garden. I just want it for leisure, just something to plant my vegetables and my herbs and things. He said he offered to pay him for it. He was going to pay him a good price. I'll trade it to you for a better vineyard. And it's a lot of us that trade off for something better. We'll trade that wife in. We'll trade the TV and we'll trade the car in. We always want something better. We're not content with God, with what God had given us. We'll trade our religion in. We want to leave that church that we've been in, that we've been placed in. God had us in that place. We want to go to a bigger and better church with a more beautiful surrounding of people and a more better atmosphere. It's convenient, you know. Everything is for our convenience today. But Naboth replied, I can't do that. He says, I would like to, he said, but Naboth, the Lord forbid that I should sell the inheritance that was passed down from my family. Now, we know if we read Leviticus, and Ahab should have been reading Leviticus, the 25th chapter of Leviticus says, the land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine, for you are strangers and sojourners with me. A lot of Christians say, well, heaven, earth is not my home, this is not my home, I'm just a pilgrim passing through. Well, God had divided the promised land, he had divided the kingdom into lots. I spoke about this at Mr. Luther's funeral, and it seemed like his heirs are the first, some of the first ones to transgress this penalty, to transgress this law. Be careful, you know, because they had been warned, right? If you'd have heard that eulogy, they had been warned at that time about inheritances and the law of inheritance, and that you should be in the Bible, that you should know what God's word says. So what happened was, God says that he had divided the land by lot. He gave everybody what he wanted them to have, and that was to stay in that family. And I told him, I said, well, look, this man didn't have any sons that was left. He only had was daughters, and God made a provision where the daughters would be over that inheritance. And if they married, it couldn't leave out of that family or that tribe. They had to marry somebody within that. So those daughters being heads of those households, or those daughters being at that heir, the husband couldn't come in and sell that property. You know, we got people that their parents have labored and gotten. Leo Cyrus preached a sermon about we're no better than our fathers. In other words, the parents that labored for property and inheritance and left it to you, and you sold that. You've given that away. You've given the things away that God had passed on through you by, and it says, God forbid, because it wasn't theirs in the first place. The earth and the fullness thereof is the Lord's, and he had lent it to them. So it's not yours to sell. That's why Naboth said, God forbid that I should pass on to you what my ancestors passed on to me. He knew what God's law said. And that's what this nation is about. That's what capitalism is about, buying and selling. If you look at the mark of the beast, it's about buying and selling. And in the land, in this, in biblical nature, in biblical times, in God's world, you could never lose your land. Now, if you became so poor that you didn't work the land out of business dealings and everything, you could lease the land. But at the end of a certain amount of years, which was 50 years, the year of Jubilee, that land would return back to the people that it was originally for. You could redeem the land if you got money at a certain time or whatever, enough money. You know, like if you put an item in the pawn shop, they give you a ticket. Well, they don't supposed to be able to sell that property until you come and you could redeem that property. You present that ticket and you redeem that property. But with God's laws, you couldn't ever lose that property. That would go back. That's why a lot of people didn't make those loans on properties during those days, because if it was closer to year's jubilee, and they say, well, we would lose because for God's laws, if I abide by God's laws, I got to return this land back to him at the time of jubilee, so I won't make that loan because I'm not going to cross God. See, so God has to be upright. God has to be all in your life. He has to be all in all. You would cross anybody else but God. See, and a lot of us cross God for ourselves, for our families, and for anything else. For anything, we sell God's inheritance. And Naboth said he couldn't do that. It was convenient. By convenience, you'll go out with a quick pick and with a lottery to get rich. It's more convenient, instead of working or laboring, to go out and gamble, to hurry up and get money. And the Bible tells us about quick riches. You may not be stealing directly, but you're complicit in theft. You're complicit because of what's happening there. And I told you about it not being entertainment for some, that it's not entertainment, but that it's a way of them wanting to acquire wealth. It's covetous. It's greed. It's wanting more. It's wanting more. And he says it's convenient. It's close by. That's what the sins Jeroboam had did. God had talked about Jeroboam's sin that had made all Israel to sin. He made religion convenient. We want something convenient nowadays. We want it quick. I was telling my brother the other day, we want instant gratification. We just got to have it now. Some people can't sit at a red light for it to change unless they're blowing to make you hurry up and jump up under that light. They don't want anything hard. That Jeroboam said, well, look, instead of you going way to Jerusalem to worship God, I'll set up these golden calves in Dan and you can worship God here. You don't have to make that pilgrimage way down there. I'm going to make religion convenient for you. How many churches now preaching, come as you are. Just you be comfortable. You could come in your pajamas. Come any way you want to. But the word of God says you must dress. You must prepare and dress up to come before God. You have to wash. You have to clean. You have to be prepared to come. His priest had to wash every day. You have to prepare yourself to come before God. But you lose respect for God. You lose respect for his property. You're like Uzzah. You remember Uzzah touched the Ark of the Covenant and God killed him? People don't respect the property of God. They don't respect the church's property. So you know they're not going to respect your property. No integrity. Your integrity would cause you to respect others. And as you grow in that integrity, you'll cause others to walk that same line, or else it would dissipate and lose out. We see where religion is convenient. Most people say, well, T.D. Jakes is my pastor, Osteen is my pastor. You know why? They want a convenient preacher. They don't want to have to leave house. They say, I watch church. I go to church all the time. I sit there and watch it at home. Too lazy to leave out the house and go to church. That's not an excuse. You're sitting there. But you know why? Because you could turn him off when you don't agree with what he's saying. He can't keep tabs on you. You don't have to know what everything he's saying or doing. Convenient religions will cause a lot of us to be lost. That which comfortable to us. So I don't care how much TV you watch at home. I don't care how much religion you have. If you don't have integrity to go along with it, if you're a hypocrite, you got a major problem before God. You got major. The lust of the eye, he looked at, it was beautiful. It was a vineyard. It was something to him just that he could have as a sidebar. In other words, I could plant my carrots over here. I could have it for an herb garden. He didn't say a major garden. He said a herb garden. Just to season his food with different little things there. So that was another trap, the lust of the eye. A lot of people, they want things because it looks good. They've been advertising that. How many people been thinking, if I could just win this Publishers Clearinghouse, that's $5,000 a week, and $5,000 a week for somebody else I know. But it causes you to buy books and everything that you don't really need. It causes you to get hooked up and follow and put that into your heart. Those, the lust of this world, the lust of getting things, money, he put mammon, this material thing. Now, Naboth, it might have not been too prosperous as a garden, and it could have been. But Naboth was content because that's what God had given him. How many of us are content with what God had given us? One of my daughter and my son was talking about it. One of them works at Exxon, the other one works with the Army. She's got a $500,000 house out there, and he set up good. And he said, "You know, Daddy, one of these days we're going to get you a house, you know, get you this, and we'll tear down this old house and get you out of here or whatever." And I'm like, you know, that's a good idea for you. But you know what? I like where I live at. Because you know what? That's my daddy's house. You know where I live at? Why would I move out of? You know what the name of the place where I live in that subdivision? It's Eden Park. North Street, Jonah Street, King Street. It's Eden Park. Why would I leave Eden Park where my father's inheritance are? For something where you don't know your neighbors. You don't know. You just know you got a big, beautiful house. You got a house with a lake on it. It's a lake in the back of a... Well, that's good for you. If you love that, darling, that's good for you. But you hadn't asked whether I was content or happy. You know, sometimes Solomon said it would be better to eat bread on a rooftop in a corner than to dwell in a house, a broad house with a brawling woman. A lot of people that got hold to husbands and wives, they wish they never had a got hold. They don't even have bread to eat. They don't have food on the table. A lot of people got homes and everything, but you don't. You have a house, but not a home. Not if you're working two jobs to pay for it. You don't even have time to barbecue and sit back and enjoy your home because you're trying to put the bills on the table. You didn't sell your inheritance. You're in the bondage to the system. You miss a couple of notes on it and it's gone. They're going to repossess it. You got to draw and toe their lines. You got to vote. That's why the legislature voted the way they wanted to put the inheritance in debt, the trillions of dollars of debt, because their covetous, adulterous leader promised them, "You're going to get tired of winning and you will have nothing but money. And I'm making all these promises to you." And they, the lust of the eye, covetousness about money and riches and gold. But they didn't think of all the people that they were stepping on to get there. How many people are just lucky, just happen to plow that little garden in that little plot and be happy that they could rest at night, that they hadn't stepped on nobody? How many people, I'm happy with that old truck I got. But I wouldn't want now a new $40,000 truck that I'm worried about paying the notes on, and the insurance notes too high for me to pay for. Now I got to choke the money out the congregation and everything else to keep up my lifestyle. Our parents leave us stuff. God has given us all these promises, and we're selling them out for something that can't satisfy. I reading or heard this morning, this guy, billionaire, leader of the free world, national leader, wife is a model. Wife was a model. But being married to her while she was in her pregnancy and had two children, I mean had this child, he had had two affairs during that time. 6 months after his son was born, he was sleeping with a porn star. Come to find out a year or two later in 2006, he was sleeping with a playmate, play bunny of the year. But that's the kind of people we elect. That's the kind of people our churches are behind because it promises us something new. This is his third wife he's on, but he's still looking, he's covetous, he wants more. That's the kind of leader, that's the kind of nation, that's the kind that this republic stands for, that they have integrity. It sounds hypocritical to me. It sounds like they're selling their inheritance. The wheels of justice turn slow, but they grind fine. So, about these things in the world and loving the world, and God had forbid Naboth to do that. What does he say in the book of Romans about us? Shall we continue in sin that grace shall abound? If you know something that's against the law of God, if you have integrity and you have been standing in other matters, and that's why I say you can't stand in all these things if you're not standing in the smallest of things. If you hadn't been standing up against your wife, your husband, or your children, or this nation, or these things at other points, you can't just up and do it overnight because you're too bound. You're tied. You're tied by the bonds of your sin. You can't just up and loose yourself overnight. You can't just get out this thing easy. Sometimes it's a hard road to hoe. That's what during Nehemiah's time and Ezra's time, when they said, well, look, you got to divorce these foreign wives. And God, they talked with God, and he said, well, no, we'll give you time, because it was winter time, and they couldn't just get out that marriage or that relationship easy. And according to God's word, if you bound, you bound. You got her now. She's yours. You stuck. You are stuck, buddy. That's what you wanted. Now you're stuck with her. Now how you go? That means you and her got to fight. He says your enemies going to be those of your own household. She going to want to gamble. And you, if you a Christian, he going to want to gamble. Or she going to want to gamble. She going to want to drink and do the thing. And say, well, look, we could put God. That's not our inheritance. We could just rob God and give this to Satan. We'll give it to the lottery. We'll give it to drinking. We'll give it to Comcast, the DirecTV. The things that satisfy us, we'll sell that we have, that God had given us. Because God says he wanted a tenth. He gets a return on his money. Are you robbing God of his tithes and offerings? Are you giving it back to Satan? Are you giving it to the Jezebels of this world? You continuing in sin. You know it's wrong. But you can't stand up because you're addicted to love. You're addicted to the things of this world. See, that was Ahab's problem. Jezebel said, what's wrong, honey? He said, he wouldn't give me his land. I asked him for his property, and he wouldn't give it to me. She said, she rubbed his head and said, oh, baby, don't cry. You the king. I'll give it to you. And that idiot, he sold God out. God says, there's no man that is evil and wicked as Jezebel. A lot of it, your wives will show you how to finance that car, how to get that home, how to work things out. Ain't it something how people know how to manipulate the systems? Jezebel. The woman, and if you find out, a woman in scripture represents, a lot of time it is a wife, but a lot of time it's a city, or it could represent a church or a religious system. We notice Jezebel still hanging around in the book of Revelation. She was a religious system, a system of seduction, a seducing doctrine. He should have stood up against Jezebel when she said, I'll give it to you. Because she didn't have ability to give it to him because God forbid it. How you going to give me something God's forbid? He should have stopped her right there. Whenever somebody always talking about their wife or their husband and stuff, you stay away from around that person as much as possible because they got an idol in their life. They never tell you what God said. They say what their wife or their husband or their children, their parents or somebody. What does God say? Notice that Naboth said, God forbid this. Notice that Joseph said, God forbid, how can I sin against God and go with this woman? Notice that Job says, how woman, you sound like a foolish woman. Why should I curse God and die? God has to be first in your life. If anybody come up to you and you don't say what God says first, we got problems. He should have told Jezebel at that time. Jezebel wrote letters in Ahab's name and took his seal and signed it. And just like the Congress today that has no backbone, that has no fortitude about itself, it says, let's look at that. Let's read that scripture, what Jezebel did. That starting at verse 7. Are you not the king of Israel? Jezebel demanded, get up and eat something and don't worry about it. I'll get you Naboth's vineyard. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, sealed them with his seal, and sent them to the elders and other leaders of the town where Naboth lived. In her letter, she commanded, call the citizens together for a time of fasting and give Naboth a place of honor. And then seat two scoundrels, two children of Belial, two worthless lying senators or representatives to lie. Send David Nunez or somebody in there to make something up. Send some scoundrel in there to lie and connive. But it's the church that's saying this. Notice it's the church that says, well, he did go with this prostitute, this porn star, but we'll give him a mulligan on that. The church, notice the church when it always want to let you slide on something. The church should hold your feet to the fire. If the church is not the cutting edge, we have a problem. If the church is not saying every tub shall set on his own bottom and each man's going to have to give account for his sins in that day, you're setting a bad example for your children. You're setting a very horrible example. They say, call the citizens together and says that he cursed God and the king, then take him out and stone him to death. So the elders and the other town leaders followed the instructions Jezebel had written in the letters, and they called for a place for affairs and put Naboth at a prominent place before the people. Then the two scoundrels came and sat across from him, and they accused Naboth before all the people, saying he cursed God and the king. So he was dragged outside the town and stoned to death. The town leader sent word to Jezebel, Naboth has been stoned to death. When Jezebel heard the news, she said to Ahab, you know the vineyard Naboth wouldn't sell you? Well, you can have it immediately. Now he's dead. So Ahab immediately went down to claim it. Being a leader, you didn't say, honey, how you got this? Being a leader, you don't know what's going on around your house. You don't know what's going on in your kingdom. You're complicit in this. God's going to have your life for this, and you hadn't found out the details of it? Jezebel's going to be put to death for this, and Ahab's going to be put to death for this. This nation shall pay for what they're doing. Babylon shall pay for what they're doing. And like I said, notice that it's going to be on religious grounds that this nation is going to prosecute. That's why I said I read Hebrews 11 chapter in the 36th verse, because don't go along with it. Even though you suffer a death, Naboth here suffered. Notice that the people of the nation, God sent those people into bondage. God destroyed that nation, and that was his nation. That was some Israel that he sent into captivity. The lost tribes of Israel, because of stuff like this. The corrupt leaders listen at what the church said. Isn't it the church that elected the leader we have today? Evangelicals, 80% was behind this. And it's going to be on religious grounds that Satan's ministers are transforming to angels of light, and that it's the church that's going to persecute the world. It's an apostate church, a fallen church. Religion is the corruption here. That woman Jezebel, the church, has become a harlot church that sanctions all this. And if you notice that blaming on people, the religions nowadays are saying that the people are wicked and they're not God following. That's because you notice that churches want you to follow God the way they want you to follow God. They want you to be just as hypocritical as they and their preachers are. Now, she know. Believe me, Satan know your Bible better than you know. Satan knows the word of God better than you know the word of God, because you don't study the word of God. You're not walking in integrity, and you're not walking in the spirit of God. See, that's what Satan came up to Jesus, quoting the scriptures. A seducing spirit will lead you away. Notice this, that she used, she didn't like God. She was of the high priest. Her father was from Tyre, of the Sidonians. So she was a priestess of Baal. So she knew. She had already killed the prophets. You remember her and Elijah had this confrontation earlier. And Elijah had to kill 750 of her prophets. And that's when she said she was going to kill Elijah. Now Jezebel here knew what God's law said. Get two witnesses, get two scoundrels, because God's law called for two witnesses to put a man to death. That they lied on him. Do you know it was the Pharisees who got two witnesses to lie on Jesus to put him to death? Two witnesses came in and lied on him. If they did it to the green tree, don't you think it's going to do it to the dry tree? If they did it to Jesus, you don't think they're going to do it to you? You're not going to have your name in lights. So all of us won't get this big headline and thing. We're going to be like Naboth. They're going to take us out and stone us to death and take what we have. The government has a right of eminent domain. They're going to take what you have. See, it wasn't whether poor should be able to ever lose their land, that poor should ever be able to be driven to this point. But now, if you look at that tax cut,
It was for the wealthy. It didn't do anything for the poverty ridden. The ones it did something for was the ones that's the oppressors. Now the ignorant ones that went along with that was the covetousness and greed of the ones that's in poverty and blue collar, that had racial prejudice, that had covetousness, that had greed, that had wickedness in them, that appealed to what was in them. See, that's what Satan does. He appeals to the depravity that's in man. Man is fallen. If you could say something that agrees with that wickedness that's in man and not the integrity that was in man. You had Jeff Flake and what is this senator from Tennessee, Bob Corker, that stood up, that says, no, we can't do that. This is not right. There are people within that Republican Party that are people of integrity, are have morals, even though they still need to be worked on for God. Now, whenever I say something about a person, that don't mean that they totally innocent. We all need work. God's working on all of us. And until the day we die, we're going to be struggling for perfection. God's going to be struggling to that we kill self, that self should die, that we should grow in the grace and knowledge of God. But that means we got to start to struggle and fight. We got to start standing somewhere, making living sacrifice. Our body is that sacrifice. We have to sacrifice not having things. It said some went around destitute in rags and everything. Instead, in other words, I'm going to take care of God. And if that don't leave me money for clothes, it don't leave me money for this and money for that, I got to straighten out my lifestyle, but I have to take care of God, or else I'll never get the rest of my life right. When somebody say, well, when I get straightened up, I'm going to give the church this, please get away from around me. Don't make those lying promises to me, because you building the church on the wrong thing, you'll never get straight, because you're a God robber. Revelations 2:20 and 23. He says, but I have this charge against you, that you tolerate the woman who calls us Jezebel, that woman Jezebel, that's Revelation, the second chapter, in the 20th through the 23rd verse, who calls herself a prophetess, claiming to be inspired, and she teaches and misleads my bondservants so that they commit acts of sexual immorality and eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, to change her inner self and her sinful way of thinking. But she has no desire to repent of her immorality and refuses to do so. Listen carefully. I will throw her on a bed of sickness, and those who commit adultery with her I will bring into great anguish. Unless they repent of their deeds, I will kill her children, in other words, her followers, with pestilence, thoroughly annihilating them, and all the churches will know without any doubt that I am he who searches the minds and the hearts and the innermost purposes, and I will give to each one of you a reward or a punishment according to your deeds. Now, I'm going to pay you according to how you work, because I see you. I see all those in the church that's throwing a brick high in their hand. I see all these people that's voting for this and doing these things, and I know the intents of your heart. I know the motive. I know why you're doing it. You can fool somebody else, but you can't fool God. Jezebel had these people do it. The church is having us mauled by the government. It's the churches that's doing it. That's why he said he was going to rise up and fight against the church. And like I said, he says with seducing doctrines, and she calls herself a teacher. A lot of these churches, they're teaching you out of the word of God, but you don't have enough of God's spirit in you to know when you're being sold a bill of goods. Because you're a layer decision, you didn't become complacent. You got nice homes, you drive nice cars, you're in a nice church and in a nice place, but the devil will lull you to sleep. All that stuff is a fantasy. It's built up on false presumptions. It's not a solid religion. So that's what happened to Ahab, that he allowed his wife Jezebel. And there are consequences for listening at this. That's why when he said he was going to fight against the church and he was going to reward everybody according to their deeds, there are consequences for following these things. That's the second point there. We have to suffer the consequences of civil disobedience. So just as I told you years ago about the Arab Spring, it's going to rise up in this nation. just like it rose up starting in Indonesia and across those where they had to rebel against the government. It's going to be necessary that Americans rise up against the government. But the church has to sit silent. God's true church has to sit silent. Now, where it comes into conflict, we have to obey God and not man. So there will be religious laws. There will be laws made by this government because it's ruled by the Christian churches, evangelical churches, that they're hypocritical churches. And they're going to do just like Jezebel. You remember I told you the woman was a church, it was a system? Well, this religious system in this nation has no integrity. It's corrupted. It has been corrupted from within. So that's why it has to fall. Babylon is fallen. So we see this as a done deal. So there's a lot of times, as Peter said, that it's better to obey God than man. Daniel worked in the Babylonian government for Nebuchadnezzar. But it was Daniel who was thrown in the lion's den. It was Daniel who suffered. It was Daniel who wouldn't eat of the king's food. And that's what I say. You better be careful of what doctrine you're eating of whose tables. You can't eat of the tables of devils. You can't sit there with that convenient religion, listening to all them different preachers, and still walk uprightly. You're going to be drunken from too much food. Yeah. You're going to choke on it because you're not having the proper understanding of it. That's the food that's offered to idols. In other words, you think some elegant preacher and this is high society preaching and teaching. Oh, my pastor, they drive jets and he has a Rolls Royce. He have all this. Anybody can be fooled by fool's gold. Anybody can be fooled by fool's gold. If you think your inheritance in this world and you sell it out, you will have a problem. But it's a lot of us that could be tortured. That's going to be put to death. There are senators that had to resign their seats because of lying women with allegations of sexual immorality, whereas these women were complicit in it. And see, the woman's going to suffer the harsher punishment in all these things. If you notice that's when Eve suffered a harsher punishment in a way than Adam, because he says, in pain and sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. He put that up on the woman. Because she was complicit, she led the man astray. Now, she didn't let the man off the hook because he said, now, you wasn't fool. You knew what I said. Now, any of y'all that's not leading your house right, and you didn't let your wife get you messed up and everything, you can't turn around and blame the wife. God's going to blame you more so. Because there's one thing about it, no, even your wife can't really stand you, to tell you the truth. No woman can stand a weak man. Because the man was there to strengthen the woman and to be she was a helpmeet to her. You want vengeance, you let that woman turn on you. She can bring you to naught and she can help you out. But see, Naboth paid for this with his life. I want y'all to turn to first, when I said 2 Kings. 2 Kings, the 9th chapter, the 7th through the 10th verse. This is what you read in the 9th chapter, 7th through the 10th verse. You are to destroy the family of Ahab, your master, in this way. I will avenge the murder of my prophets and all the Lord's servants who were killed by Jezebel. I will destroy it. The entire family of Ahab must be wiped out. I will destroy every one of his male descendants, slave and free alike, anywhere in Israel. I will destroy the family of Ahab as I have destroyed the families of Jeroboam, whom I told you made religion convenient, the son of Nebat, and Baasha, the son of Ahijah. Dogs will eat Ahab's wife Jezebel. I'm going to feed her to the dogs. She will become dog food. That woman's going to be dog food. At the plot of land in Jezreel, no one will bury her. Then the young prophet ran away. You know what happened? Because God says he had saw the blood. Let's read that in the King James Version. Because what God was doing, remember I said, you will be killed, you won't be here to see it. Naboth wasn't here to see this. Naboth will see it one day. Naboth will witness this one day. But it says, the ninth chapter, and what verse I said there was the 7 through the 10. He said, and thou shalt smite the house of thy master Ahab, that I may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, at the hand of the servants of the Lord, at the hand of Jezebel. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish, and I will cut him off from Ahab that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up in Israel. And I will make the house of Jezebel like the house of Nebat, a Jeroboam of Nebat. This was because he said he saw the blood of Nabat and his sons. Because, you know, Jezebel had to kill the sons also. She had to kill all of Nabat's sons, because if she'd have left the sons alive, the sons could inherit the land. So she had to kill all of his sons. And that's why God wiped out Ahab's whole family and Jezebel's whole family. And that's why I was telling you, like I preached at that eulogy, your family could get wiped out. You know, I look at my congregation, I look at people all around me, and I wonder why things are happening in their families and their lives the way it is. That's how Solomon got wise. He sat back and observed things. He's very observant. And I've been observing things. I don't know if y'all know all the things that's associated with that. But there's a reason that that's coming about. And until God give you wisdom and the Spirit will reveal these things to you, that's what makes you go on. Because if you God's friends, he's going to show you these things. That's what's going to make you stronger. He had showed and he appealed to Nabat. So Nabat seen this afar off. Abraham through faith seen afar off. Through faith we see afar off. We're not living by things in this life and in this world. We can see the things afar off. Now, Jehu was listening at this, and Jehu said in the 21st verse of 2 Kings, then King Joram of Israel and King Ahazah of Judah rode out in their chariots to meet Jehu. They met him at the plot of land that had belonged to Nabat of Jezreel. That's where the fight took place. King Joram demanded, "Do you come in peace, Jehu?" Jehu replied, "How can there be peace as long as your idolatrous, whorish, witchcraft mother is still around? Why we ain't killed his witch yet? All whores have to die." And she had to die a horrible death. So Jehu said, "Who is with me? Who is on the Lord's side?" And Jezebel was upstairs when she heard him coming. Ahab had been killed. I'm not going through alliterating how Ahab was killed and all these other things. I'm doing it for Jezebel because of her treachery. But God had postponed Ahab's death for a while because Ahab had humbled himself. He didn't repent because he was wicked and God destroyed his whole family. See, because a lot of people get in with God, but that doesn't mean God won't destroy their whole family. God still is going by his plan. So years later, he destroyed Ahab's whole family and Jezebel's whole family. And she was getting dressed, and the eunuchs went upstairs and tossed her out of the window. And Jehu trampled her under in a chariot. He rode the chariot over two or three times. And then the dogs started eating Jezebel. Jehu went inside and was eating. And he said, "Oh, yeah, well, she's a king's daughter. Let's bury her." But when he went out to bury her, the dogs had ate. They couldn't find Jezebel. All they found was a skull in the palms of her hands and the bones in her feet. The dogs had ate her to pieces. They had ate her to pieces because she had stole that inheritance. She had killed all those sons. So God's going to deal with those that steal your inheritance. God's going to deal with the people of this nation that's working wickedness. I'm trying to get you right here in a place or a position where you're not selling your inheritance. You know, because the land symbolized our spiritual inheritance. Nabat wasn't laboring just for that plot of land, even though that was an earthly inheritance. The promise that Nabat was looking at, the promise that he promised Abraham, which is spiritual. You know, Abraham never had a fixed home, but he looked at the promises of God. The Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. The Holy Spirit is the earnest. In other words, that's a down payment on our inheritance. That's the earnest. Don't sell the Spirit. And a lot of people are quenching and selling the spirit. If you look at 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, the 21st verse, it says, "It is God who enables us along with you to stand firm for Christ. He has commissioned us and he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment, the earnest that guarantees everything he promised us." So anybody that has God's spirit, you can feel it inside that God has more for you. You're looking at that more that God has for you. You know it's coming. You might not get it in this life, but you know God's good for his word. That this is a done deal. And so I don't have to have a perfect marriage. I don't have to have perfect children. I don't have to have a new truck. I don't have to have a new home. But I got God's word that he's going to take care of me. That's what makes me stand. We walk by faith, you know. We grow weary in our present bodies. And we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. For we will put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies. While we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh. My knees hurt. I got problems with my back. My wife just had surgery. We're falling apart. He says, but it is not that we want to die and be rid of these old bodies. We try to take care of these bodies. We want to see better. We want to walk better. We want to live better. He says, but rather we want to put on our new bodies. These dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. It'll be changed into an incorruptible body. God himself has prepared us for this. And as a guarantee, he has given us his spirit. That's the earnest of our inheritance. I'm not going to sell it out. I'm not going to sell it out piece by piece. The devil comes to kill and destroy. But I'm going to hold that inheritance by doing everything God's word say. We walk by faith and not by sight. That's why we're able to just give it up and sacrifice. Because God can promise we'll have it. Death is going to be swallowed up one day. We might not have it right now, but it's coming. Just hold on, it's coming. We are confident and would rather be away from these earthly bodies for when we will be at home with God. That's why Job said, though he slay me, yet will I see God. I'll still serve him because I know it's going to be better days than these. But I'm not going to sell out to the world. I'm not going to sell and get trillions of dollars in debt. I'm not going to give up what God had given me. The earnest of the spirit. But the churches are selling out. There are people selling out to those seducing spirits. So he says, we've received, Ephesians says, we've received an inheritance, a destiny from God. God had given us this. We were aliens at one time, but we received faith from God. We receive that spirit in us crying, Abba, Father. And we won't disobey God. We want to grow in integrity. I would rather not have any brothers and sisters. I would rather not have any family. I would rather not have anything. But let me have God. I want Jesus. I want his word dwelling in me. Give me that spirit. Give me of the spirit. And you know what? If I pray, all these other things will be added to me. You know, it's good to have my children thinking that way. That does sound good and everything. But you see what happens? They have to line up on us because we line up on God's word. Don't get out of line. You stay where God has you. Stay in that integrity. One of these days, neighbor children is going to walk in that inheritance because neighbor stood in that inheritance. That's something if your daddy don't stand. If your daddy won't stand, you will say, I got to set the pattern in. Daddy's not a pattern setter. Daddy is weak. My daddy was a chump. Do you know in ways my daddy was a chump? I seen a lot of things in his life that was really, really bad. And you know what? I guess that's why I've been married so long. I guess that's why a whole lot of other things. I thank my daddy for all he did. But he did some bad things. And I think about that my stepfather was a much better man in some ways. And I don't hate either one of them. But I learn from others' mistakes. We learn from others. And we stand on the backs that we stand. We stand. The spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Right now. I ain't talking about later on. Right now I'm a child of God. That's what the spirit say. And if children, then we heirs. Joint heirs with Christ. Heirs of God. So if we suffer with him like he suffered, then we may also be glorified with him when he's glorified. Good. And if Christ then is in you, if you Abraham's seed, Christ is in you, right? And if you're Christ's, then you present, that's present tense, his seed. And heirs according to the promise. You heirs of Abraham, he said, because the promise was to Abraham and his children. And we're children by faith. Then having been justified by his grace. Remember I said if we're justified by grace, that's why we can't continue in sin. We should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's how we become heirs, through the hope of eternal life. Don't sell that inheritance. Walk in it. You might not see it in this life, but I don't need the lottery to do that for me. I'm like the lady. She won $500 million in the. I told y'all to pray for. I don't know how much that recording was blocked out there, but my memories inspire me sometime. I went by Sister Harris' house. I was working on her freezer. And she was saying, Pastor, I know you're a righteous man and you walk in a righteous way. And you was telling us about this situation where we're being violated here. This guy's encroaching up on our property here. And she said, I know you said pray for a reason. And I said, yes, I said that because I couldn't be hypocritical. Because you remember a couple of weeks, a month ago, when you said somebody was crossing your property or whatever. And I said, just pray. Let's pray. The church should be in prayer, because when we see people wiping out, when we see families and homes wiped out, when we see massacres in the land, we know God's sovereign. We know God's still in control. So all the calamities and disasters, that don't deter us from serving God. We just know closer and closer to thee we're coming. He said, if you continue in faith, rooted and grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Don't let yourself be moved out of God's word, which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. This gospel is being preached. Don't let anybody move. Satan's going to try to move you away. He's going to try to rob you of that inheritance. That's how he moved Eve away from the inheritance, by getting her to go against God's word. God had forbade her to eat of that tree, and she ate of it anyhow. What God forbids, we can't do. If God forbids us, we can't do. And as I'm closing in this, look at this in Daniel, the 12th chapter of Daniel, the 13th verse. We know Daniel was an old man. Daniel had went into captivity when he was young, and he wouldn't eat with the king's people. But Daniel stood for God all of that time. So Daniel must have been in his 70s or 80s when they returned to captivity. And we don't even know if Daniel returned into captivity with him, because he prayed during the time that was supposed to be returning. But he probably died right there in that homeland, in that land, because God had showed him what was going to happen. He had showed Daniel what was going to happen. Many of my parents died at Hope. You know, a lot of times I would want my mother. I tell my wife, I said, man, if mother was here now. If she was here to see Obama, to see after all their laboring and toil and hardness they've had, the hardness we've had coming from across the Comet over there on the creek, and how things was, just to see how far God has brought us as African Americans, she would have been mighty proud. There's a lot of them would have been proud to see the mayor years ago. But see, just like Obama kept his integrity, our mayor didn't keep his integrity. He didn't have integrity. See, that's something when God blesses you and you don't have integrity, though. See, that's the problem. We all need integrity like Naboth had. Daniel had integrity. We don't see where Daniel had a family or had any of these other things. But listen to what God tells Daniel before he told him to seal up the book. He says, as for you, Daniel, go your way until the end. You will rest. In other words, you'll die, Daniel. And then at the end of days, you will rise again to receive the inheritance I set aside for you. You know, that feels good. A lot of times I would used to be out working real hard at night. I mean, work all day, but not there all day. And I come home. And labored for my family, and my wife, been in the kids and things, been fed and ate and everything. And What makes me feel good, though? And she said, well, honey, yeah. And she set that plate. She didn't reserve that for me, that big old plate. God has something set aside. He didn't let them have all of what he had set aside for you. God set the best aside for you. That was some of the best meal of that thing. My wife picked mine out first. God picked Naboth's stuff out first. If you read that in Hebrews, at the end of Hebrews, it says, and all of these, though they gained divine approval, we will finish read the opening scripture there. Those that I said had died of cruel markings, of stonings. Listen at the last verse of Hebrews. That's the hall of faith. He says, and all of these, though they gained divine approval through their faith. In other words, God stamped up on their heart, good job, my good and faithful servant. When they were stoning Naboth to death, God says, I'll take care of you, Naboth. Good job. When they stoned Stephen, Stephen says, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what to do. When Jesus hung on the cross, he says, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And the souls on an altar say, Lord, how long shall we lay here? How long, he says, until the rest of my servants be killed the same way you were. But he says, these servants did not receive the fulfillment of what was promised. All this that happened to those that went on home. That my father did leave for me, the home that he left for me. When he come back, I really, he'll see that how I fixed it up. I tried to work on it. I took pride in it. It didn't look as well as it did now when he left it, but I didn't want to get rid of it. God wouldn't let me get rid of it because, you know, I had moved way out there where the people stay at, had a 5-bedroom home and everything, but I wasn't comfortable. I didn't get to see my parents as much as I wanted to see them. I kind of changed because I was working and trying to get and thought I had somebody. But God knocked me down, and God had that house didn't have the doors on it or the windows on it. Crackheads and things was coming in and out of it. But it was my father's inheritance. I moved back, and I had to live up to it with boards up to the door and different things. Me and my wife and children, God allowed us to put it back together. It's a good home now. God wouldn't allow me to lose that inheritance. God gives us of these things, and we're not happy with them. He says, because God had us in mind and had something better for us, so that these men and women of authentic faith would not be made perfect, that is, a complete apart from us. So on that last day, Abraham's going to stand, Naboth's going to stand, Daniel's going to stand, my mama and daddy's going to stand, my stepfather. We'll stand in God to give us what he had for us. But it was because we continued to put integrity in others. We didn't fail to say, son, strive. Much as I say about my dad, he would make me get up early. He said, if you go work, you need to get up before that sun rise up. It'll make you lazy if you're in the bed when the sun comes up. My stepfather, he worked me for when I was young. I've learned good, so we all have faults. I didn't have a perfect family. But they did what God told them to do. We've all done the best we could that God told us. We have to stand for God. No matter what other people say and think about it, it's people that said things against us and against them that wasn't not true. They didn't even try to defend themselves. But their integrity before God, God judges. Are you keeping your integrity in this day and time? Don't sell your inheritance. The Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritances. It's the earnest of it. Don't sell it for the convenience of these days, of this time. Don't sell it. Be a Naboth. Be of integrity. Heavenly Father,